Hey everybody, I'm Dr. Deb, and welcome to another episode of PTSD and Beyond. Welcome to the PTSD and Beyond podcast, where we give you insights into post-traumatic stress, trauma recovery, healing, and beyond. I'm Dr. Deb Lind, and in each episode, I have a conversation with a guest who will stimulate your mind, touch your heart, and connect with your spirit, and also give you a greater understanding of yourself and others on this healing and recovery journey walked by so many of us before, wounded healers with lived experience and heroes. Hopefully, we'll also provide a glimpse into possibilities and purpose, hope, and inspiration. Thanks for listening and enjoy the podcast. One last thing, guys, before we dive into today's episode, if you'd like an ad-free experience and like early access to new episodes and special events, I want to let you know you can join us at patreon.com. That is patreon.com/PTSD and Beyond. All right, let's do it. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond. Today's guest, Dr. Umbreen Hassan, is a Minneapolis-based artist and physician with an MBA in healthcare administration. She shares with us her journey of transforming stress into art and all the different mediums that she uses in creating art, such as air. When she first created her very first piece and showed it to her family was in disbelief and couldn't believe it. Did you really do that? And she says, like, yeah, I did. So she comes on to PTSD and Beyond with bringing multiple lenses of incorporating art, healing, as well as being inspired by nature and incorporating all of these different elements, being a self-taught artist, giving back to community as a practicing physician, as well as helping other people understand that, yes, you can find some joy in life by doing something that you might have never thought you'd ever done before. All right, you guys, let's give a heartfelt welcome to Dr. Umbreen Hassan. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Deb here with PTSD and Beyond. We've got another wonderful guest who's going to talk about their artwork, art therapy, as well as their own personal journey and how becoming an artist came out of something, you know, that was part of their journey. Guys, let's give a heartfelt welcome to Umbreen Hassan. Welcome to PTSD and Beyond.
Thank you for inviting me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, I'm excited to have you on because the story of how we connected is a story in itself. And when I saw your posting about just the images of your artwork, and you gave a little bit of a background about your journey and how you started becoming an artist, I thought, okay, you know what? This is so cool. We've got to have you on. And then for you to be so gracious to say, yeah, you know what? This sounds like something. Yeah, I can do this. So talk with us a little bit about, you know, who you are. And let's just segue right into, you know, your artwork and your journey.
Yeah, so I am originally from Pakistan. I've been practicing medicine here in the United States for the last 25 years. So I'm a practicing rheumatologist in Minneapolis. And I never had any opportunity to be in art. So because my life has always been busy with either medicine or with kids. So in 2016, I was involved in a car accident and I had some head trauma. And I was on leave for 6 to 8 weeks from my work. So at that time, it was a very depressing time for me because I'm a type A personality. So I never sat at home before. So during that time, I started doing MBA in leadership, but I wanted to, because I was really depressed at that time, I wanted to do something therapeutic. So I decided I love botanical arrangements. So I decided I'm going to go to one of the craft, shops and just get some stuff for arrangements. And I went there and, just by chance, I turned into a different aisle. It was the paint section, mm-hmm. and I've never painted before. So I was standing in front of the acrylics that I didn't even know the different mediums at that time. And I was thinking, like, I just knew about watercolors because that's what we used to use in schools. And the sales lady came and I asked her, like, what are these and how do you use it? And she told me, why don't you get some canvases and paint brushes and acrylics, and you can just mix a little bit of water and paint with it. So I came home and I was alone that day. So I decided to paint. And my first painting was a little like a 12 by 12, and it's called Twilight. And I painted that in the evening when my family came. I told them I painted this and they said, no, you can't paint it. So nobody believed me. And I told them, no, I really painted this. And I didn't have any place to paint. So I just took up the laundry and I started painting it. I made a mess of the laundry because I had no way how to control the paint. So from that moment I started painting, and I noticed that whenever I was painting, I felt at ease. Surrounded by colors made me feel really relaxed and detached from the world. My mind would go blank and I would just concentrate on the colors, and it was very de-stressing. So that's how my journey started, basically.
Wow, that's a beautiful journey of, you know, recognizing that there's a joy in botanical arrangements and flowers, and then taking the next step and going to a store and thinking, okay, I'm going to get some of these botanical arrangements. And then you just happen to be guided down the, you know, paint aisle, and for someone to be there to assist and answer questions, and then for you to just start, you know, playing with some of these colors and seeing how things came about, and even to have a name to your first painting called Twilight, and then the response from your family, as well as recognizing that these are some of the changes that I'm noticing with myself while I'm painting. That in itself is an incredible story to share. Thank you for sharing that with us.
Yeah, and I really thought it was not coincidental. I really feel it was something given by God. And so when I started painting on a regular basis, I felt that this is going to help other people and I have to give back to the community. Mm-hmm. So after I had like 10, 15 paintings, I advertised locally among my friends and they were really supportive. And I sold I had more than 15, 20. I had around 30, 35 paintings. We sold 31 paintings the first day.
Wow. There was
paintings, yeah, but I donated all that amount to Acid Survivors International. Mm-hmm. And it was a way of giving back. And I felt really good because it felt as if I was given this gift from God and now I'm actually using it to help others.
Right.
So when people bought the painting, they felt really good because one, they were helping, you know, charity, and the other thing was it just made them feel good, and because the paintings were bright,
mm-hmm.
so it brought them joy and some happiness. And for me, it just felt that, you know, I'm not just making the paintings for nothing, you know, it's helping me, but it's helping the community also.
Right. Is that one of your paintings that's behind you?
Yes, it is.
Is it? Oh my gosh, it's gorgeous. What is the name of this painting?
So this is Nebula, and I made that a few years back. It has real quartz and amethyst, and I took it at the Minneapolis Convention Center basically to sell it. And whenever someone would come to buy it, I would decline to sell it. I have this problem with my painting, but I have some special bond with this one. Because sometimes you're in a frame of mind when you're making a particular painting, and it makes you have a special emotional attachment to the painting because only you can understand what you were thinking when you were making that special painting. So for me, this is very important. And so finally, after taking it to two or three different exhibitions and declining it every time, my husband told me, can you stop taking it to exhibitions? We are not going to sell it. So now it's in my living area, and so I decided not to sell it because it has a very special meaning to me.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
Yeah, thank you.
So do you integrate then crystals along with painting then with acrylics, different mediums, different textures? And
Yeah, so I actually, because I've been painting since 2017, the journey has changed over time. Initially, it was acrylics. And then when I felt I'd learned enough by myself, then I went into hot wax. So it's called encaustics.
Mm-hmm.
So you mix pigment into hot beeswax and you paint. It's quite difficult, actually, because it's very toxic. So my commercial studio upstairs came into being at that time because the fumes were very toxic, and they were carcinogenic and they were going through the HVAC into the entire home.
Right.
So I had to separate it. So I made that. And then after that, I moved into resins. So this has, where you see the plastic-like,
mm-hmm. yep.
on top that is resin. So it's liquid plastic, which then just, you know, solidifies. So you have only 30 minutes to work with it. So after that, I went into alcohol inks, and those are my most popular paintings because most people work with alcohol inks on small, you know, basis like 5x5 or, you know, something smaller. But I started making with really huge paintings with alcohol inks. My first commission was something like 72 inch by 48 inch.
Oh, wow.
Which used a lot of alcohol inks, and I burn it with fire. So the problem was I had to take breaks. I was wearing respirator and everything, but you can get intoxicated because it absorbs through the skin.
Yes.
Even with ventilation, I had to take breaks. And then I decided I'm not going to take a commission this big with alcohol inks because it is kind of dangerous for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And after alcohol inks, I these days have been making seascapes. And I've been painting a lot seascapes with oil painting. So my main thing is I love challenges. And oil paints are very difficult for me. I learn myself, so I've never used paint brushes. With all these, I used gravity and compressed air and fire. So until now, I haven't used paint brushes. So 2023 is the first time I've started using brushes. I don't even know the different types. So I'm learning a lot. But so I just like a challenge. So it just keeps changing.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. How have you found yourself to change, and not necessarily change in the sense of I'm different, but change in the sense of evolving from when you first started painting with your, you know, mental health in particular, and then also depression, some of the other mental health conditions that other people might be able to relate to listening to our podcast today. How have you found yourself changing and evolving from when you first started painting to where you're at right now?
I think painting gives you freedom to express your emotions. Then recently, my entire biological family in 2020 actually passed away, and it was like within a few months. So I went into grief therapy, and it was helpful. You know, I was having therapy every week. But sometimes, especially being a physician, you are taught to be very resilient. That's part of your training. So sometimes expressing yourself to the therapist is very difficult.
Mm.
And I found that very, very difficult for me because I used to be on the other end. And to be a patient and trying to be vulnerable in front of someone was very difficult for me. So that's where the painting comes into effect. Because what happens when you are alone and you have these emotions, you basically have a blank canvas and you are putting your emotions on the canvas. Nobody is judging you at that time. And if you feel insecure, you can stop painting, right? In the therapy, you keep going on and on.
Right.
Unless you ask them to stop. But sometimes when in the middle, you know, they might not want to stop, right? So with this, you have a little bit of control. And sometimes when I paint, I really don't know what I'm painting until it finishes and I move back. And then I look. So for me, the colors rather than the forms are more important,
mm-hmm.
because the colors tell me about my mood and what I was thinking.
Right.
So I used to paint really bright colors, and I still do now. But in between, when I was depressed in 2020 and 2021, I just used to paint black and gray and dark browns. And I stopped taking commissions because people knew me for my bright work. Mm-hmm. And I just did one commission of sunflowers, and that was the most difficult commission for me because I didn't feel like painting a sunflower.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, forms were not that important. So the colors actually tell you. And when you start painting, so when I'm painting seascapes right now, it's giving me freedom. So it's giving me strength because I paint storms and really huge waves. So I'm coming back into how resilient I used to be.
Mm-hmm.
So from calm waves, I've started making these huge oceans and storms with big waves. And it just makes me feel that as if I'm resurfing back to what I was. That's how I perceive it. So that's how mentally it actually helps you.
Nice. I want to ask to expand on this, because what you're saying is about coming back home, coming back to who you are. And often in our peer groups, people will make comments about, I want to get back to the person that I used to be, or I feel like I lost myself. Whether we're talking about it's a veteran or somebody who is a person who's experienced another type of trauma, that mindset and those comments are very common, what we hear. And what I'm hearing you say is that through painting and through art therapy, it's given you a place to express your emotions and to attach with colors and different mediums, as well as it allows you to have that space of freedom and then to come back to the person you've always known yourself to be, to reconnect with self.
Yeah, and it's very interesting because during my training, internal medicine training, we had a choice of working at the university or the veteran hospital, VA hospital, and I decided to work at the VA hospital. Actually, people used to feel depressed over there because it is depressing. Most patients have PTSD, they are depressed, Agent Orange and all that stuff.
Yep.
I actually liked working over there because I liked listening to their stories. And PTSD is pretty high, like 30% of veterans have that. And their therapy, like I was reading once that the University of Utah did a study on veterans, and they found out their PTSD, when they were doing cognitive therapy, they were having really bad flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
So they included art therapy with the cognitive therapy, and it improved the results. And the reason was patients were willing to do a cognitive therapy with the art therapy because they had more control with the art therapy.
Mm-hmm.
They felt that they were not completely, because when you have flashbacks, you're out of control, right? Mm-hmm. And you don't know where you are because you're disoriented. So it makes you feel really vulnerable because you're in a different place at that time. But if you're grounded with the art therapy, basically, physically, you are expressing something outside,
mm-hmm.
and you can control it.
Right.
So that was very interesting to see that they were willing to do more of the cognitive therapy if you include art therapy, and the results were much more better. And I tell many of my patients, because I'm a rheumatologist, so patients are depressed because of arthritis and deformities.
Mm-hmm.
And majority of them know that I'm an artist. And I tell them, you don't need to paint to prove to someone that you are a good artist, because not even the best artist, not every painting is good. They don't show it to you on social media. That's different. I show them, and then I tell them I'm going to remove this painting and redo it. But most people show you not the reality on social media. Every painting is the best one. That's not true.
Right.
So I tell them that, you know, paint for yourself. You know, use any medium, paint for yourself. And some of them have started painting, and they have told me that they feel really good. They feel as if there was this stress inside or frustration, which is released. And I have felt exactly the same thing, especially when my sister, I had only one sibling. So when she passed away, and she was 42, and within 4 months, my mother passed away, I was very frustrated. Because it just felt helpless, especially when you're a physician and you can't do anything. And I started painting, and it was a release of frustration. I used to spend 4, 5, 6 hours at a time. I wouldn't even know that I'm painting. I would just stay there, and nobody enters my studio. They know when I'm painting, the more stressed I would be, the more I would paint. So it's very interesting because if they see me painting more, they know I'm depressed or stressed and they won't bother me much, my kids and my husband. So it's very interesting because it fluctuates. So I don't paint exactly the same amount all the time. It depends on my mental health.
Wow. So you find yourself painting more when you need more of the release.
Yes.
And then also there's the expression in the painting. What do you think about an energy release also? So for example, I like to cook and the kitchen's my happy place. So when I'm not, you know, doing very well, when I am doing well, I'm in the kitchen. I get a lot of satisfaction out of it and creating something. And I think about the energy that goes into like the food, like I'm really particular, like right from the recipe to getting it, I smell everything. And why I'm bringing this up is I'm sensitive when I go to a restaurant. I want to make sure that the environment is happy, that looking around at, you know, the servers, people are happy. Otherwise, I don't want to eat there because I feel like then the energy, the food that I'm ingesting is going to affect me. The same way as if I'm making something and I use cooking to help me with redirecting my emotional and energetic state. And the output is always like wonderful. And if for some reason it doesn't taste right, then I don't serve it. And my kids and family know that I won't. If it doesn't taste good, forget it. Kind of like what you're saying. Like I don't post the stuff that's like, what did this come out to be, right? Well, that was a good try. On the same time, things that are like, I'm so glad I wrote that recipe down because it was spot on. When you're painting and your energy is going into those paintings, do you also feel that kind of a release as well?
So sometimes when I paint, like I spent 1 week painting a seascape, and yesterday I posted that, okay, I'm finished, and I was very happy. Sometimes when you walk away from a painting, then you come back and you think, this is terrible, what I painted, like this is really bad. So I told my followers on Instagram, I'm going to redo the entire painting. So from horizontal, I made it vertical and I'm now redoing the entire thing. There was a lot of energy which went into that painting mm-hmm. for 1 week because it's oil paintings where you have to wait a day every time. But I wasn't into that painting. I later realized that I saw a picture. I can't copy things. Like, you know, people see a photograph, they want to make similar things.
Right.
I tried doing that just for learning purposes, but I wasn't into it. So the end result was really bad. Now, when I changed the painting, I feel a really good vibe from it. Mm-hmm. And I can see that it's the same canvas and more or less it's the same colors. I've just changed some forms, mm-hmm. but the energy has changed because I'm happy with it. Versus that 1 week of work that I spend all that, you know, oil paint on. So it's very important. You should be happy with what you are doing because, and that's why with the commissions, I sometimes try to avoid commissions. And the reason is people might tell you to do something in particular. I'm not a professionally trained artist, right? So I go with my emotions. Mm-hmm. I don't feel like painting something like the sunflowers when I was really depressed. I really struggled. But before that, I had made sunflowers and people really loved it. So I depend on my mental health and my emotions. Mm-hmm. And that's why I went into this. So I'm not a, you know, professional artist who just makes paintings to sell. And, you know, so it's a different thing. And sometimes because I'm exhibiting at the airports and other places, people feel that I'm a professional artist. So they might request things and I have to decline at, you know, some points because I feel that would be unfair to them also, that my heart is not there. But as you're saying, in your food, you feel the positive energy, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Maybe someone else might not feel it. They would feel it's really good. But
right.
You know that, you know, it's not to your standard. Similarly, I have that thing. My husband told me, why are you spoiling this entire painting? It's really pretty. But I told him, no, it's not. I have to redo it. So you do things for yourself, right?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The moment you start doing things to impress other people, you have lost it. You know, I tell people the moment you start painting, because this is the trend, so that's why you're doing it, or you're just doing it to be popular, you have lost it. Because
Yes, yeah.
I absolutely agree with that. Every time I try to follow, every time I try to follow a recipe, forget it. It never works out. I read recipes to have an understanding of how the ingredients mix together and what I'm supposed to be looking for. If you were to ask anybody who knows me, though, they're like, okay, why are you reading that recipe? Because you know you're going to do what you want to do anyway with it. Because every time I try to follow a recipe verbatim, it never works out. So I get in the kitchen and I have my ingredients and I just make what I think works. And I would call myself more of a rustic chef because I'm not formally trained either. The things that I've made, though, people are like, oh my gosh, it's like, nope, I just put together what I think works well. I go by textures, aromas, tastes, how I'm feeling, emotions. I talk to the food. Even if I have to marinate something, I'll talk to it overnight, you know, say goodnight to it, check on it, massage it, do all these things because there is an ebb and flow with all the energy that's around us. And what I hear you saying too with your paintings is that there's also a gift when we give this to other people that they have a almost like a little hug when they look at your work. There's a happiness. There's an exchange of humanity with through your artwork.
Because it's a whole body experience. It's mental, physical, just like how you're saying. Your cooking is also mental and physical, right? Your body's involved. Your mental status is involved. And creativity has to be authentic. Yeah. You know, if you are just going to follow other people, then you're not creative. You know, that's the main thing. And I see many artists and I really feel bad at times that they just try to copy another one. And I think they would be really good artists if they try to do things like when I look at a painting or I'm looking at YouTube, for example, if I don't know how to make the surf, I'm just going to look at that just to learn, okay, these are the colors they're using. But I'm not going to copy it because when I'm painting, I'm in a different, you know, frame of mind. I'm just doing what I want to do.
Yep.
So that's what you're saying about your cooking. So I think that's what authenticity is all about.
Right. I agree with that too. With people that are listening to our podcast, and we're in over 100 countries, and I have to say that I know there's going to be people from, you know, the eastern part of the world that are just going to say like, oh my gosh. And then also locally here in the Twin Cities, I mean, I can't even tell you how blessed we are here at our organic podcast. So people that are listening right now that are wondering, how do I get started? I'd like to feel that release. What's some advice that you can give to people for just starting to dive in and paint?
I think the most important thing is to be confident in yourself. If this is something you want to do, don't think what others will think about you or you are not trained. It really doesn't matter. You're doing it for yourself. That is number one. So I have seen some local artists like from Pakistan, really beautiful artwork. I told her, I know people, I can put you in a gallery. Your artwork is beautiful. She said, I don't have the confidence like you have. And I said, no, you put it in the gallery and your confidence will come. And she said, I will never show it to anyone. So I was sad hearing this because sometimes in our culture, confidence in women can be a problem.
Yes.
So they might underestimate themselves. Mm-hmm. You know, so that is one thing. You have to be confident. You don't have to show to anyone. You do it for yourself in a room. Just get something and paint. I used to do artwork, classes for alcoholics before COVID. So if you find someone who's doing these, and I think most of the art galleries do small classes. If you want to have a feel and don't want to buy stuff, just sign up for summer class. Like it can be a single class and you go over there and try it over there. Try different mediums and see which one you would like, because not all mediums are the same. Resin and oil paints need a lot of patience. Mm-hmm. Acrylics are very quick. You know, they dry within 20, 30 minutes. So, you know, you're doing. So everyone's personality is different. I've heard some people say that I'm very impatient. I can't do resin and wait for 24 hours. So I think just trying your hand, and you don't even have to buy. Just go to a class in a gallery and see what you like.
What are other messages for women? I just did another podcast that was about the same concept about believing in yourself. There's a children's book of the little train that could, that was trying to go up this hill, and it was, you know, being basically told it couldn't do it, and that this little train kept saying, "I know I can, I know I can, I know I can." And oftentimes, women will ask, we will ask our family members, our friends, and we're seeking validation. That's really what we're seeking. We know we want to do something. We're unsure. Our confidence might not be, you know, solid, and we're seeking validation from people that we trust. But then we don't get that. They might say, "Well, you know, I don't think you can." And it really can set someone off in the sense of actually not doing it. What are some other messages that you can share with women that would like to do something, whether it's painting or putting their artwork in a gallery or maybe sewing or whatever it is that they are thinking about right now in this moment, especially listening to the podcast, to say, yeah, you know what, there's this embroidery. There's so many things that we as women do, and then we just don't get that message. So from yourself, who's done this journey and again, have gone full circle, What's something else that you can share with women that you learned about yourself?
I learned during, you know, when I had the accident. So I had an out-of-body experience and my whole life was flashing in front of me. This is the second life I believe I got. And I realized very quickly that your family is everything. I used to be very type A personality and, you know, in my work. And there's never going to be a time where everything will be done and now you are free, so now you can pursue your hobbies. That time is never going to come because you don't know, right? My sister was 42 and she passed away. She used to think that, you know, okay, she will do this and this later on. It doesn't happen that way. Life can be short. So I think pursue what you want to do, be confident, and don't look for validation. I know it's a huge thing. When I wanted to make the studio, and I knew it was carcinogenic and I was having asthma-like attacks with it, so it was affecting me. It took me 2 years to actually build that, and it was from my own money, but I felt so guilty as a woman that I can spend this money on my family. And finally, I thought, no, you know, I want it and I'm going to do it. So do it for yourself. That is the most important, thing. And don't wait for validation from anyone else. You know what you want in your heart. So just go ahead and pursue your dreams.
I love that. You know what you want in your heart. So just go ahead and pursue your dreams. That is so key. So listener who's out there, pause this audio right now, flip it back 10, 15 seconds and re-listen to that piece. Re-listen to what Umbreen's message is. That's beautiful. That's absolutely beautiful. I cannot thank you so much for being here. Where can people find you?
So my website is umbreenhassan.com. We are launching a new one. So this one is old, but it's still active. Otherwise, Instagram is again Umbreen Hassan.
We'll certainly have all of your hyperlinks in the show notes. Any other last bits of information you'd like to, hey, you know what? There's this one last thought I want to let listeners know. Anything else that you'd like to share with us, Umbreen?
No, I think I'm really happy to be over here. And I think you're doing a great job.
And, thank you.
We connected. And I just want, the listeners to know that they should just go with it, their gut feeling. And life is short. Just enjoy your life.
Oh, I love that. Just enjoy your life. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Umbreen.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. All right, guys, this is Dr. Deb with PTSD and Beyond. If you connect with Umbreen, let her know that you heard her on PTSD and Beyond. Again, we'll have all the active hyperlinks in the show notes. And as always, we know that we're better together, we're stronger together, and take what resonates and go beyond.